Well, good morning, everyone. Okay. Raquel, how are you? Good, very good. It was a bad night yesterday in the English football. Manchester City lost, so not good. Nevertheless, I want to speak this morning on the power of honor and how we can cultivate a culture that speaks louder than words. Where we get to a point where honor is not just words, you just don't hear it, you actually see it. And so welcome to everybody. And it's always good to gather in the house of God. And I always enjoy my time when I'm driving from Fremantle to here, just obviously percolating in my mind what has just happened in Fremantle, but anticipating what's going to happen here in Kwinana. And so we know that this year as a church group, we're doing that book, the Just 10 book with Jay Johns and looking at the 10 commandments. And today is part number 6, where we're talking about honoring your mother, your father and mother. And this comes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It says, honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And this commandment to honor our parents is generally understood as a fundamental principle. So it's the beginning kind of stuff. It helps promote family cohesion, teaches us respect for authority, and the preservation of societal order. Now, you can only imagine if you are living in an environment where there is no honor and there is no respect for order. It is so chaotic. That is an environment where everybody is doing what they want to do. And it's going to be a place where it's very hard to live and survive because everybody just does whatever they want to do, kind of like the days we're living in now. And so imagine if you decided the speed limit says 60, and you say, stuff that, I'm going to go 150. Just the disorder that will come around because of that. And so why did God give us this commandment? And why was it very specific to parents? It seems strange to me why he wouldn't say, just honor the government, honor your teachers or your leaders. And so we have to understand the cultural and social context or societal context in when these commandments were given. The family unit at that time was the primary social structure, and parents were the immediate authority figures. And so we had parents there as the immediate family figures. And so it was a place, the primary place, where values, morals, and rules were taught and enforced. So honoring your parents was a key part of us maintaining societal order and continuity. Parents are usually the first authority figures in a person's life. And so if you're a parent, you've had children, and so your children, you're the boss, you're like the mini god, and they, you know. And then, of course, they start to rebel as they get older. They start off nice, and then as they get older, then they start to have a mind of their own. And then that can create havoc in the family. But what it does, that family relationship sets the tone for how we will relate with other authority figures and institutions. And so by us learning to honor and respect our parents, we are learning the importance of respect for authority. So if there's a lot of disrespect in the home, there is a formula to these things. Just as there is a formula to success, there is a formula to failure and to chaos. Because the disrespect that we start to give towards our parents, it starts off in the house, then it goes to the school, and then from the school it goes in front of the judge, and you know how the story goes thereafter. And we've just come out of a series where we're talking about relationships and how they're complicated. How, in fact, relationships are important, but at the same time, they're very complicated. And how many of us know that families are complicated? No one? Families are complicated? There's just issues with families. And so throughout the Bible, we see examples of good some good families, and some not so good family dynamics. And so family dynamics play a significant role in fostering a culture of honor within a family. And so some of those key family dynamics that you want to see if we're going to cultivate this culture of honor is respectful communication. And so when there's respectful communication, it allows for family members to express their thoughts, feelings, and needs without judgment or criticism. It helps us foster understanding and honor. So everybody can speak freely and just have your say, okay, whatever, good, move on. We also model behavior. Now we know that we have some people who've come from an environment where their parents and the adults in their lives modeled good behavior. And for them, life becomes a bit easy because, you know, I'm just going to follow what auntie or dad or mom did. But then there's also some of us who've come from environments where, there wasn't a very good modeling taking place. We came from the times when we grew up where it was, what did they used to say about, you know, do as I say, not as I do. You know, that's what they used to say. Do as I say. And my uncles used to drum that into me. Do as I say, not as I do. But we recognize that, no, it is actually do as I say and do. Because it's not in the saying that people listen. It's in the observation and in the doing that they, you know. Because you got to look at it this way. When a baby is born, it sees everybody else walking. It's observing. And so even though we might say, baby, walk, 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 we basically get it to stand up and say, okay, follow after me. And so it observes. So yes, hearing is important, but it's the observation. That's what the children will take away with them. Because guess what happens? They adopt the same practice and behaviors that we have. And I recall growing up and saying, you know, I will never be like my father. I'll never be like my father. And then later on in life, you realize that, oops, I'm just like my father. Because there are some things that through the process of osmosis that seep into us. We see it, you know, there are some vibes that we get from our family, the way the language of the house is, that all of a sudden it seeps into our psyche and into who we are. And then all of a sudden, the one thing you don't want to be like is the one thing that you actually become. Because you've modeled that. It's ingrained. Oh, okay. That's how you do it. This is why when people learn to cook, they cook exactly as their parents did. Even though there are now even better methods of cooking, they say, no, this is the way to cook because that's the way that they observed people doing. We recognize and appreciate one another. And there's a lot of affirming that needs to happen in family. And so we celebrate milestones, expressing gratitude. And I, you know, with celebrating milestones, I remember saying to a bunch of my friends, I said, guys, it's my birthday today. And instead of getting a happy birthday or let's take you out, they said, and? You know, so what? Where the guys just, whatever, it's your birthday, big deal. And I can say that in my family, it wasn't really, I only had one significant birthday where I thought, wow, it was I think I was in grade 3, where I had actually a birthday party. It was like, well, big deal. But ever since then, it was just like, oh, well, it's just any other day. But what happens, you see, is that when we celebrate and when we recognize and we appreciate, we create positive and affirming environments within the family. And it's quite hard sometimes to affirm somebody or people that are doing the wrong thing. But that we have to create that environment of affirmation within the family. There's, of course, upholding of boundaries to build the family dynamic. There has to be, we have to respect individual autonomy. And what that does, it promotes a sense of safety and trust. So So we need to develop that safety and trust within the family. That's a family dynamic that is going to help foster a culture of honor. Conflict resolution. Back when we grew up, there was no, we are having a meeting to discuss what's going on in the family. It was one-way street. No answering back. There was no back chat. Because they were quick back in those days. Back chat, bang. You know, I wish we could go back to the old school. You can't do that in Australia. Neither can you do it in Africa now, by the way. You can't. Because when we were at school, we used to get caned. But then that's all gone. Because they recognize that actually there's a better way, that the beating up doesn't necessarily produce the best result. And I used to say, you know, I would rather be beaten than to have a lecture. You know? Because I know that once you get caned, it's finished. But then now when they talk and they talk and they talk, and it just lingers in your mind. You know, you've got to deal with those words. That, you know, my father, he was a talker. And my grandmother as well, but God bless him. But guess what? The words that they said, they have either helped you or those words condemn you. Because when you heed the advice and the suggestions of people that have gone before you, what happens, you see, is that they will help you if you heeded them, but they will condemn you if you haven't listened to them, and your life changes for the worst. Because now you've got to remember that you were told that if you continue going down this track, this is what is going to happen. And so when you don't change your ways, now you've got to deal with those words that never leave you. And that can become a burden in itself to carry. We support, conflict resolution. We create that environment for that. And it allows us to express opinions and for needs whilst working towards a resolution. That's what it does. We thought, you know, like as we've grown over in time, they did think that beating was the right way. Yeah, bring them in shape, put them into order. But they recognize that discipline does not necessarily mean the punishment with the hand. Although that is required at times, but there's always a better way. The easiest thing I guess they could do is to put their hands on you. And sometimes you would think that just the fear alone, sometimes of my uncles, and I guess the ones that I feared most in my family were not the males. It was the females that I feared the most. Because when those two grandmothers, they didn't play. I once lost a pram. In fact, I lost $5. And $5 was a lot of money back in those days. And man, that was really bad. You know, and I remember when I lost the pram, it was a hose pipe that she hit me with. Lie down. And she just didn't bring it from here, you know. It was the... But there's a way that we do that in family where we have discussions and we teach people how to actually live life. Because when we do that in our family dynamics, when we do have discussions about things, it's actually setting children up for success later on. Because guess what? When they've got to speak with people in an office setting, there's no caning that happens in an office. But there are consequences. And so they now are able to communicate and to understand without resorting to disrespect or harm. We support and we encourage one another, providing support and unconditional loves. And so when we as family members consistently offer emotional support, helping one another and provide encouragement, we create an environment where people feel valued, cared for, and honored. And so these Ten Commandments were given, and as we've spoken right from the beginning, they were given as a means by which God can build relationship with us. And so Marshall Siegel says, when God says, honor your father and mother, what he's essentially also saying is that, will you trust and submit to me, to my wise and sovereign and specific plan for you, however hard that feels along the way? And so sometimes we have to understand that even when our parents fail us, they fail to love us, what it does is that it shows us that there is another way, and that way points to God, because God is the perfect Father. And so when we recognize that, okay, our parents have failed, then God is able, he's the one that we see. And we think we want to model our lives that God loves us unconditionally. And it's hard. You know, it's very hard at times. But that's what God does, is that so we see that when the parents fail us, when we've had poor relationships with them, we can now look to God, because he's different to the way that our parents were. And this is what I like in Romans 8:14. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And so we have not received a spirit that makes us fearful slaves. Instead, we've received God's Spirit when he adopted us as his children. And guess what happens? So regardless of the fact that I grew up in a home, and I'm talking about us here, not myself in particular, but regardless of the fact that we may have grown up in a home where the dynamics were just completely out of whack, what happens is that when God adopts us into his family, we can then come to him and we call him Abba Father. Now, the Abba part is the really nice daddy kind of very affectionate. You know, we call him, he's our father, your daddy, we call the Lord daddy. But the father part is also where we recognize the authority of God. So yes, there's the lovey-dovey, but of course we also recognize the authority. And I was saying earlier in Fremantle about when we get onto the bus and the train, we see the signs. We see the signs that say, the sign is basically saying, keep this seats for elderly people or people that are frail, or keep this space for pregnant moms. And you sometimes wonder, is it really necessary? But what they're doing is that they're reminding us about honoring people. And so when we were at school, we were taught, we would say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And whenever you were talking to an elderly person at school, you always had to have your hat off. You're not talking to them with your hat on. Now, look, whether that signifies respect or not, possibly not, you know. Like, now the kids will talk to you with their caps on. They don't care. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's being disrespectful. But we always had to. But I found is that even though we may have viewed that as, oh, this is a bit weird, what they're actually doing is teaching us and preparing us for success later on in life. Because when you refer to people as ma'am or sir, nowadays, of course, perhaps others are not very happy if you refer to them as ma'am or sir. Don't call me that, call me by my name. If you refer to them as that, people get really, really annoyed. But I think that, imagine if they didn't teach us that, and we can just come and say, hey, Helen, hey, Raquel, no. You go to your no. If you want to be successful in your life, learn how to address people properly. These are just some basics. These are the basics to success, is addressing people, one, in a respectful way. If you address them in a negative way and you're just like, yeah, whatever, hey, boss, you know, hey, so-and-so, no. That is going to be a sure recipe where When it comes time to promotion and there's two people that need to be are being reviewed, you'll be put under the other person will get it. Because it's people, when you honor and respect people, it puts you in front of the queue. My mother sent me a letter when I was in Malaysia in 1998. And of course, she's, you know, saying hello, da-da-da-da. And then she then says that she was telling me about, you know, when you start building your life, buy yourself some electronics, radio, TV. And then she said, look after your grandparents because they are the ones that raised you. My father at another time, and my parents were separated, would go on to keep telling me to look after my grandparents. Make sure you look after your grandparents. Look after, so he says, look after your grandparents. But I also observed my father was very jealous of his mother. And he would look after her. He took care of her. He did things for her. And he honored her. And you notice everything that I've ever done is that I modeled. There's other things that my father did that I don't model after. My father had 26 odd children. I'm not modeling after that, you know. You know, and he had several wives, you know. At this stage, well, I am not modeling, you know. But there's just some things that you recognize that, look, I'll take that, and I'm not going to model after these other things. And so this modeling that we have as parents is very important, that we model behaviors to our children so that they can, what, when they are older, they can start to do the same. I'm just looking at the time. That's not the time, is it? No. Okay. So, I don't know whether I've said this before, but I went back to see my grandmother in 2018, and she was, you know, 6 months before she was getting really terminally sick. And I had to leave to come back to Australia on a Saturday. I can clearly see the Saturday I went, hugged her. That morning, I got, my grandmother used to make chicken, the best fried chicken, and there was just a process that they used. They boil the chicken and they dump it in, you know, in grease, in fat, you know. And I like my chicken a bit dry, and she just knew how to make it perfect. So my sister made it for me, and that morning, for some reason, I just started having a lot of fresh, raw bird's eye chili. So it happened that afterwards, I had to go to the airport. So my grandfather said, look, I'll take you. We'll go together. And so we went to the airport with my friend, and we had to go pick my sister up, and then they'll take me to the airport. The problem was that there was now a traffic jam, and so my heart starts racing because I'm scared that I'm going to actually miss the flight. At the same time, my stomach starts rumbling because it's time. It's time. And it was knocking, you know, I need to come out. And so I eventually we got to my aunt's business. We picked up my sister, and I, with great relief, there was a toilet there, did what I had to do. And so I come out, and I'm like, okay, let's get in the car and go. And they said, oh, the old man has gone into the toilet. And I just said, stuff it, we're going. We're leaving him. And so we left. And by the time we got to the airport, there was oodles of time. And I could have actually waited maybe 5 minutes and still got to the airport. But by then, my heart was racing. You know, you're no longer thinking straight. And I recall sitting at the airport. I don't know if you can put that picture up of me. So that's me sitting at the airport thinking, Lord, let this not be the last interaction that I have with my grandfather. Because that would have been just a bitter pill to swallow. That my last interaction, I just sort of like palmed him off. I palmed him off. And I say all of that, you know, to say this, that, you know, honoring our parents is a fundamental and important thing. And I get it. Some of them have been really trash, you know, real garbage, you know. But there is something that is being taught to us, that there is a spirit that needs to be on the inside of us that looks to honor. Because honor does not mean you honor because you are recognizing the authority of the position. There's lots of people that are in positions of authority in government. Now, you may not necessarily agree with them, their ideals, the way you do things, but I bet you we could all sit here and we talk about, we'll just pick on the Prime Minister, you know, just because it's him, and we will say all different things about him. Oh, he's weird, he's this, he's crazy, whatever, he's a good guy. Others will be saying he's a good, we've all have different opinions about him. And even if we have negative opinions about him, the moment he walks in here, all of us will rise. Not because we like the guy, but we recognize the authority that he carries. And this is what it means when we are saying honoring. Doesn't mean they're perfect, but we honor because we are recognizing the authority. And so my grandfather, by God's grace, and I'm praying in that, saying, Lord, help me, you know, I hope this is not the last interaction with my grandfather. But I want us to say we want to be those people that when we honor our parents, we look after them, we esteem them whilst they are alive. Because there will come a time when they're no longer here. And I bet you, you may start to wish, I just hope that I had respected and honored my parents when they were here. So that you don't have to fuss at the funeral where you're trying to get a gold casket to make up for the things that you didn't do when they were alive. You're buying a flower arrangement that everybody's going to be like, wow, talking about. It's too late then. So my grandfather comes to Australia, and that's him. Next picture, Andrew. Oh, that's a nice one. That's me and him there. And so he came to Australia, and so this was in the 6th of September 2019. We were now coming, relocating to Perth, and we had packed the house up. It was empty, and so I had got him to go and stay at a friend's place, sleep on a bed, because there were no beds, and everything was gone. And he became stubborn. He did not want to go. And so you know what I did? I gave him an absolute fire hydrant hose spray. I literally laid into him. I just really just, come on, you don't give me that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And afterwards, the remorse that comes over you. How the heck have I spoken to my grandparents like that? To a man that raised me. And of course, Unami's mother was there. And so she witnessed the dressing down. And so probably poor woman got frightened as well. That I better not start with him, you know. But I remember going to apologize and say, look, I'm sorry. And I explained why, but too late, I should have never blasted. And that's the problem sometimes when you've got no control. Instead of being a sniper, I was a machine gun, and I let him have it. And so my grandmother says something to me. She said to me when I was growing up, she said, everything, do everything your father says until you can become independent and you can look after yourself. And the reason why she was teaching me all this was that, look, just if your father says do this, go here, do it. Because if you start fighting against your father, especially when your father's got many wives, you'll just get left on the wayside. So be smart about the way that you do things. Up until, she said, you become independent. There is only, the only time that we can respectfully disagree with our parents is when it comes to our interaction and our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Him and only him do we give all our affection to, and no one else. And this is when we can respectfully say to them, look, I'm sorry, I'm not going to follow. This is what I believe. Because he's the one, the only one that deserves our devotion. And so I just want to go to how honor opens doors in our lives. Honor opens doors. Because whilst it's specific to parents, there is something, there's an underlying principle that can apply to all other areas of our lives. It can open doors and create opportunities for us. It helps us build relationships. When we show honor to others, we are showing them respect and value. This encourages stronger, healthier relationships, which will lead to new opportunities and experiences. Try be disrespectful to your superiors at work and see where that will get you. You know, there is an element that honoring our parents and elders is a command from the Lord. This can help deepen our spiritual life and open the door to a closer relationship with God. Honor opens doors. And I'll just, if we are people that are, if you want to live a small life, live a life that is dishonoring to people. And you will realize very soon that you're going to be all by yourself. And so just as we're looking to cultivating a culture of honor, as we stand this morning, just the keys, thanks. I just want to ask these questions as we, some self-reflection questions. In what ways do you honor the wisdom and experiences of those who come before you? Once we come to, regardless of our family dynamics and upbringing, once we come into the family of God, all of a sudden there is a wealth of wisdom, collective wisdom and life experience that comes our way. What ways do we honor the wisdom and experiences of those who came before us? My grandfather always used to say, I have been your age, yet you have not been mine. And all he was saying is that, can you listen? I've seen some things. There is a collective wisdom that is available to us in the family of God that we need to be able to tap into so that we can live a successful life. What tangible actions can you and I take to show respect and appreciation to those who have played significant roles in our lives? It might mean that you will have to call a parent to say, I want to thank you for the sacrifice that you made so that I can be in the position that I'm in. You never want to forget them because they make sacrifices. And so what actions can you take this coming week to show that respect and appreciation? How can you communicate your respect and honor for another person in a way that they understand and appreciate? Can you think of someone who has shown you honor, and how did they do so, and how did that make you feel when they honored you? And how does your behavior reflect the honor you have for your parents or your elders? My prayer this morning as we close, as we finish Malachi chapter 1, says, chapter 1, verse 6. The Lord of Heaven's army says to the priests, these are the people that are in charge of the church, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. If I am your father, and this is God talking, and master, where are the honor and the respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name, but you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? And he says, you have done so by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. And then they say, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying, the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. In verse 8, he says, when you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is. For the Lord, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. We cannot show more respect to the, and this is a generalized statement, we cannot show more respect to the pastor when we clearly disrespect our own parents. Like, I mean, come on, you know, like, how do you do that? Oh, pastor, oh, thank you, pastor. And you don't visit your parents in weeks. No phone call, no nothing, no text message. We don't want to be people like that. Because honoring our parents is a picture of our relationship to God. Because as we honor our parents, it's about honoring God. And this is because first God told us to honor them. But because it builds deeper and wider channels in our hearts for honoring him. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord God, that we are a people, Lord God, from different life experiences and different backgrounds. But you have called us, Lord God, into relationship with you. And you desire, Lord God, and you've commanded, not suggested, you've commanded, Father, that we honor our parents. And it is a sign, Lord God, that we are honoring you, that we are esteeming you. You know, another version says, when it talks about the whole, if I am your master, you know, where is the respect? It says, where's the fear? But it's not fear in the sense like, oh my goodness, I dread him. It's that awe that God deserves. And so, Lord, I just thank you, Father, that you are the perfect Father. I thank you that you have given us a family, your church, with all its collective wisdom, Lord God, and it's all its collective gifts and talents. But you have given us a family that we can experience love, we can experience appreciation, affirmation, even though we may not have got it from our biological family. But as we adopt it into the family of God, Father, we can experience what family life is like. And so we thank you, Lord God, that we are your church. And Father, we would be those, Lord God, that would esteem, that would honor one another. We would honor our parents, we would honor one another, we would honor our children, just, Lord God, as you have commanded. And so bless your people, Lord God, as we leave this place this morning. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. And everybody says, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and let's gather in the foyer.